Andy Avalos, we just saw you walking in with the best double-tiered umbrella. Is that a golf umbrella?
On the planet. It was a gift.
It's awesome, Mercedes-Benz, by the way.
It is. That's right. They gave it to me as a gift, so I have to give them a plug. Or do I?
That's a professional umbrella, Andy.
It is.
You did all right.
Well, you know, when I got off the air a little while ago, I wanted to run over here, and I thought, you know, it's raining outside, and there's nothing worse than being a weatherman and being caught outside without an umbrella.
Right.
Because people will stop and say, hey,
you should have known.
You should have known better.
And you do know, and we know so much in advance now. If you just watched the award-winning NBC5 meteorologist Andy Avalos on TV, he's now in our studio. And this is a significant storm that's coming our way today, isn't it?
It certainly is. You know, this is coming in pieces. I get up at midnight. I'm usually in the office by 2 a.m. Mm-hmm. So I watched the first wave that had some very significant thunderstorms associated with it overnight coming out of Iowa into west central Illinois. A lot of lightning, some strong winds, torrential rain. But the energy and most of the storms stayed southwest of Chicago proper, but we did have rain last night and early this morning, mainly in the western portion of the metro area and the southern burbs. Upwards of an inch of rain fell there, and the city got very little. So the rain we're getting across the area now is the second in a series of waves coming through. Once this one passes, we're likely to have a dry period for 3 or 4 hours with just some scattered light showers. That'll help to set the stage for the main event, which comes late this afternoon, say between 5 and 10 o'clock.
You know what's cool about talking to Andy in person, and I don't know how you do this, but maps come up behind you when you tell these stories. I don't know how that happens.
It's actually flashcards that I have.
See, I am a bit of a weather freak, and I love weather. I think it's really cool, and you are able to predict things so much more in advance. We've talked about this last time you came in. Before, it was like you'd get a little heads up that there is a tornado spotted somewhere. Mm-hmm. Now, tornadoes... It's in the forecast. There may be a chance for a tornado mm-hmm. later in the day. Is that just because hot air and cold air is coming together at that point?
See, she is a weather wizard.
I really am.
Really?
She pays attention to this stuff.
I do.
Well, actually, it's a combination of things that we're looking at, and it is a very complex system that we're dealing with today. But when you look at all the parameters from the surface, and I always describe the atmosphere as pancakes because it's in layers. I like to stack mine really high.
Oh, yeah.
But in case, you know, what happens here at the ground is always affected by what's happening above us. And so at the surface, we have a south-to-southwest flow that extends from the Gulf of Mexico all the way into central Illinois. So there's a deep moisture source, some very warm, humid air, but it's running into some slightly cooler air here in the northern portion of Illinois, and we get two different wind speeds in two different directions called convergence. The upper winds aloft are out of the northwest, and mm-hmm. so the pieces of energy in the jet stream are riding in from the northwest to the southeast, crossing northern Illinois. So when you get that convergence of the warm, humid air meeting with those wind flows and the upper dynamics in the atmosphere from the jet stream lifting all of this like a big vacuum cleaner, that helps to lift these storms and create very powerful updrafts, and that fuels these storms. So that's what we're anticipating later today to take place. And so when you get what we call shear or rotation of the atmosphere, a change of wind speed and direction with elevation as we stack those pancakes, you get rotation in these big storms, and that's what spins up tornadoes.
Yep.
How does that make that restaurant tie-in? Huh? From the old days?
I know. You had the best breakfast place in Lamont. It really was good.
Andy, how long does it take for a tornado to form, and they must have this on video somewhere, right? I've never seen it happen, but how long does it take to happen?
Every individual tornado is different. Some of them literally will go, and this was just the case recently, where a tornado went from basically a rope stage, which is that very thin tornado that we see in initial stages, to a wedge tornado like that. Literally within a matter of minutes.
Jeez.
Now, that's more unusual, but typically, you know, a tornado will develop in a matter of minutes, but it could take hours because of the individual storm may develop in one particular location, grow over time, and then when the conditions are right, you get enough shear, enough rotation, that's when the funnel cloud forms, usually comes out of the base of the wall cloud, and then it touches down, that's when it becomes officially a tornado. So that's the difference between a funnel cloud and a tornado is actual contact with the earth.
And what are some of the warning signs? I mean, that sky does turn like a green, muckety-muck color.
Yeah, it does. You know, and that really has a lot to do with what's going on in the upper levels of the atmosphere. You have rain, you have hail, you have refraction of light, and typically as the spectrum of the light gets bent with hail, you get other colors of the light spectrum filtered out, and that's why you get that green hue to the air because of the bending of the refraction of light in the atmosphere due to raindrops and hail. So when you get that dark, ominous-looking green, it's generally an indicator that there's hail and large hail at that aloft, and that's always, not always, but as a rule of thumb, a precursor to a tornado.
that calm before the storm, that phrase, that's legit, isn't it? It gets really calm before it. So why would that be? Why would it be so extreme from calm to just chaos?
Well, you know, and again, there are a number of different things that are happening. How many times have you yourself been outside on a hot day and nothing going on? Sun's boiling, you're out there, it's 95 degrees, and then later in the afternoon you start to see those clouds building off into the horizon.
Yeah.
A couple hours pass if you're out on the golf course. And within an hour or two, the skies are growing dark, and you know that there's a thunderstorm approaching. But before it gets to you, it's nice and calm, but the wind starts picking up, and all of a sudden the temperature drops dramatically.
Uh-huh.
I know you've had that happen
totally
to you before.
You totally can feel that. It's like, because you always say, oh, my God.
What happened?
It's freezing now.
Yeah. And what is really happening, it's on the leading edge of a thunderstorm or a gust front coming out of the lower edge of that thunderstorm, and that rain-cooled air from aloft, and we're pulling air from 20 or 30,000 feet or higher in the atmosphere, rushing out of the base of that thunderstorm. So when it hits the ground, it spreads out, and it's basically a mini cold front created by the thunderstorm. So your temperature could drop 20 degrees, and then within a matter of minutes, you're going to get a downpour, and more than likely, you'll get some hail, and if there's going to be a tornado, it would generally come after that. But that's generally the calm before the storm, happens.
You good for time? We have to take a quick break.
Sure.
People have questions for you.
March on.
Andy Avalos is here. You can give us a call at 312-981-7200 if you have any questions or comments. It's Bill F. and Wendy Snyder on WGN.
Kevin, Andy Avalos likes your choice
very
for a
much.
Song.
Yeah, it was Michael's idea.
Oh, very nice.
There should be a CD, Andy, and maybe you've already put a compilation together of all weather-related songs.
That's Riders on the Storm.
Yep.
Yeah, the list just goes on, right?
It's Raining Men.
It is.
Bill, that's a different concept.
I don't know.
You can put what you want on your weather CD from KTEL.
All right.
Andy's is going to be different. Kevin, did you have a question for Andy Avalos? Oh, I thought you said people had questions.
They have many, I'm sure, and have nothing to do with the weather.
No, just in general.
Just in general.
Right.
You know, we're talking about the threat for strong to severe weather, and it's not uncommon for it to happen this way. I just want to kind of bring this up. But remember last year on this very date, we also had a severe weather outbreak. And in Coal City, we had a devastating tornado move through the area there.
Yeah.
So it's not uncommon for this to happen. And this will be, again, the second time that Coal City was hit, because they also had a tornado back in 2013, if you recall.
My wife and her family grew up there, and it's just, it's always tragic when there's a tornado and you just see houses decimated and people's dreams just go up for no reason at all. It's terrible. I'm so glad people rallied behind the community there and did everything they can for them. That's very encouraging to see.
I have a lightning question for you.
Oh.
As the storms start rolling in, you see the lightning like across your neighborhood. You see it fairly far away. And then you're supposed to count. Like, you see the lightning, and then you do the 1,000, 2,000, 1,000, and when you hear the thunder, that figures out how far. Is that true, first of all?
Divide by 5. Well, you can do that, but one of the more important things that I'd remind you of, and it's the old common phrase that we use all the time, when thunder roars, go indoors. Thunder is a byproduct of lightning, so you have to have the lightning first before you have the thunder. And the reason you see the lightning before you hear the thunder is because light travels at, 193,000 miles a second, and 93,000
miles a second. I was just going to say faster than sound, but of course he knows the formula.
But the point is, when the air is heated with that instantaneous bolt of lightning, it's the explosion of the air, because it's heated to 50,000 degrees like that. And so it's the air exploding so that you hear the thunder after you see the lightning. But the point that I was going to make is that anytime you see lightning in the distance, you should be indoors, and especially if you hear the thunder, then the lightning is pretty close. But lightning can travel from the parent storm horizontally. It's not just a cloud-to-ground strike. Oftentimes it travels horizontally and can be 10 or 15 miles away from the actual thunderstorm. And in fact, most people are struck by storms either in advance of or after they've passed, not during, because during a thunderstorm you'd seek shelter. At least that's the common sense thing to do. But if you're outside playing tennis or whatever it is you're doing, you're out on the water, you're playing golf, and you see the storm in the distance, you see the lightning, you think, well, that still looks like it's a half hour away. Not necessarily the case.
And I bring this up because every time that happens, my husband decides to take the dog for a walk. He goes, oh, it's going to rain. Look, there's lightning out that way. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get Tiki in for a walk before the storm hits. But that's a dangerous time to walk a dog.
It is. Absolutely is. Again, anytime there's the threat of severe weather and you can either see the lightning or hear the thunder, you have to stay indoors. There is no safe place to be outdoors during a thunderstorm. There's no place to hide from lightning. There just isn't. You don't want to get under a tree. You don't want to go into the outhouse.
Mm-hmm. What about in your car?
Well, you are safe in a car. That's still not the best place. Well, actually, it's not the wheels. That's a misnomer. Even though the car is being grounded by the rubber wheels in contact with the ground, it's really the metal shell of the car that protects you. So if lightning were to strike the car, it would actually travel through the shell of the car and into the ground through the tires. As long as you don't touch anything in the car that's metal, you'll be grounded and safe. So that's the secret. And, of course, unless you're in a convertible, that's a totally different story.
That's a totally different story. And he explained this to me. When I was a kid, we'd vacation in South Florida toward the end of summer in August. And every day, as sunny as it was, we would get at almost the exact same time every day. You could see it coming down the beach, a terrible torrential thunderstorm.
And then
it would last 25 minutes, and then it was the sunniest could be again. At almost the same time every day. How can that be?
It's called a lake breeze front. Only in your case, it was coming in off the ocean.
Yeah.
And so when you think about it, the daytime heating from the surface of the earth, it rises and you get the onshore flow coming in off the ocean. And so you get that convergence. And so you get that little maximum lift. Mm-hmm. You get the thunderstorm to form and then it fades away and moves out and the sun comes back out. And almost on a daily basis, like clockwork, that same process and procedure takes place. And that's why you can set your watch to it when you live in Florida in certain locations.
Yeah.
That's really all it is.
That's pretty interesting. It makes sense, too.
You know, there's always little interesting things about the weather, no matter where you live. You know, some things happen in one location and not in another, but they're very commonplace. You'll mention something to a person. You know, for us, it's the lake breeze.
Yeah.
You know, cooler near the lake, as common as that is. You know, lake effect snow showers. Well, that would never happen in Arizona. But, you know, they'll have a haboob, and we'll never have that happen here.
It's
a dust storm, but that's, you know, that,
and
in any case, it just depends on where you are. Certain things happen in some locations, but not in others.
Bill, it was haboob.
It's still funny.
I know.
It's still very funny.
And what about the Leo DeRocher, or whatever the thing that happens? What's
it called?
Leo DeRocher. Yeah. I've never heard it called that before.
The lip.
Is there something that might happen due to these storms today?
Yes.
And what is that? Again?
That is a potential. You know, the question is, will we end up getting supercellular or individual strong severe thunderstorms this afternoon or this evening, or will they congeal into a bow echo, which ends up becoming a derecho or a long-lived wind event that literally stretches for hundreds of miles from its point of origin as it tracks from one location to another with
hundreds of miles.
Can be hundreds of miles.
Wow.
Yeah, can be hundreds of miles. So if that were to form, let's just say east and south of Chicago later today or tonight, it could put eastward through the Indiana area, through Ohio, all the way to the shoreline of the Atlantic. I mean, they can hold together for that long.
Good God, y'all.
Wow.
Our own Kim Gordon has a question for Andy Avalos.
Hi, Andy. We have a question about, we're having a debate up here about why airlines cancel flights ahead of time. Mm-hmm. You know, right now the weather's not bad, but we're getting reports that O'Hare's already canceled 85 flights and there's 40 plus cancellations already at Midway. So why do they do that in advance if they're actually flying out of the area, out of the storm?
It's so funny you'd ask me that, because just before we came back on the air in the break, one of your interns came up and said he had family members flying in this evening. Mm-hmm. He was picking them up at 11 o'clock. Are they going to get in? And I said to him, as a preemptive strike, it is probable that O'Hare and or Midway will cancel flights and or delay them, not for what's going to be happening. I mean, what's happening now, but what is going to or anticipated to happen later in the day. So what they're doing is they're having a preemptive strike. They don't want to get all those planes either flying in and stuck in a holding pattern with no place to go, or get stuck here on the ground and then have a back effect for tomorrow and having to get that situation cleared out. So that's really why they do it. They want to make sure that they get the planes in and out, and they don't want their pilots to either be stuck in the air, no place to go, or stuck here on the ground.
That's your answer, Kim. Look at that, Andy Avalos.
Thank you.
Cannot stump him.
Don't try.
Well, thank you for coming up. It's a pleasure to see you. We've known you for a very long time personally, and we've watched you on NBC5. How long have you been on TV?
You've grown up right before our very eyes, Andy.
Yes, I have. Yeah, I 32 years. I started in early April of 1984.
Wow.
So you do the math.
No, I don't do math.
They didn't even have tornadoes back then.
Well, they did. We just couldn't track them very well.
Right.
All right. So any final advice, anything we need to know?
Yes. The situation calls for you just to stay alert. Maybe not so much this afternoon. I think they'll get the Cubs game in. I think most of the afternoon will be dry. There may be a passing shower in spots. But late this afternoon into the early evening hours, and again, I said generally between 5 and 10 o'clock is probably the best window, give or take an hour on either side, to stay alert and stay informed when the storms form. And they will. It's just a question of the exact location yet that we still have to determine. The threat is going to be there for damaging winds in excess of 60 miles an hour, hail 1 to 2 inch in diameter, torrential downpours, vivid lightning, and still with enough shear in the atmosphere, there's the potential for an isolated strong tornado. So that's why you just stay abreast and alert to what's happening later today. By Friday, the sun will be back out. It'll be a beautiful day, very reminiscent of the day we had yesterday.
Oh, good.
Good.
Good, good, good.
Thanks.
If people need you, Andy, give your home phone if people want to.
Let's see, Bill. You just gave me your home number, so let me look that up quickly.
Don't. So good to see you, Andy. Thanks so much.
Always a pleasure to see the two of you and appreciate the opportunity to come on the air and visit.
Anytime you want. Just walk over here with your big umbrella.
Next time I'll bring a lobster roll.
Oh, now you're talking. Thanks, Andy. It's our friend Andy Avalos. A quick break. We'll find out what Steve has next on the Wintrust Business Lunch. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.